Well, welcome. I thought we'd start with a process. It's a legitimate stalling technique, so I can figure out what I'm going to say. But okay, what I'd like you to do is just get nice and quiet inside yourself and be honest and with yourself and just see how it feels to be in this world. Is it a struggle? Is it a lonely battle? Is it a grin and bear it type of a thing? Is it sorrow-filled? Does it have you on the run? Whatever it is for you. Okay, and when you have that, just sort of open your eyes and come back. And okay, and I've told this story before, so I don't mind telling it again. That when I was a mere lad, eons ago, I was still in my 20s, so that was, 18, 19 years ago, something like that. And I had this experience of, God's love for us, Spirit's love for us. And I had this reaction and this response of incredible anger. I remember walking down the streets and wanting to slug every lamppost, you know, every parking meter, smash cars, whatever, okay? I really was violently angry, okay? And I was furious. And I was furious because that everything I had grown up with was totally a lie and totally false and totally not true, okay? That it was all backwards, and that society, culture, and everybody had it backwards, you know? And I had all this education going to the so-called best schools and hadn't been taught diddly squat, you know? Maybe in terms of the world, yeah, I had been, but it was diddly squat, okay? And that the real truth was just the opposite. And I was furious because I couldn't believe that nobody had told us that. That I never learned that. That it never was intimated. That it wasn't even an assumption that could be made of just how loved and cared for we are. You know? And I had the experience of seeing that, you know, each soul has a couple of angels assigned to it who do nothing else but pray for that soul. You know what I thought? My God, we're taught that here we are, these little dots of being, you know, these little isolated egos, and we're kicked out of the garden. We're unloved, if not unwashed, you know, and we'll never earn God's love. We can't even begin to earn it, you know? So I was flabbergasted. I'd always suspected it, but I was kind of flabbergasted to find out that we don't have to earn God's love, that it's there for us. We don't have to do anything but receive. And it was that simple. And the most amazing thing to me as I kind of look back on that experience was I couldn't believe that I could accept that it was that simple. That my mind didn't do what minds usually do and complicate things, you know? And make it like a whole schema and a whole and buts and condition it and divorce myself from the reality of spirit, you know? But I could accept it. And I thought, wow, the fact that I could accept it must mean I know. And if I know, it must mean that everybody knows, but everybody's been conned. So I figured, okay, I have to find out more what the con is, and, well, I knew what the con is, but why is the con there? Why are we all conned? You know? And then, as I grew in spirit and got to see and investigated the whole thing spiritually, I got to see why we're conned. Okay? And we're conned because we're the conner as well as the connee, you know? That we have done this to ourselves. That through our choice of focus away from God, away from the spirit, we created karma. We created separation. Okay, and it's the separation that keeps us from God, from the loving, from the spirit we are. And because of how the consciousness works, we've inverted things, and so things are all backwards. Okay? And then I thought, well, gosh, why does God allow this? You know? I mean, I didn't expect God to send policemen, you know, into every home and say, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't, you know, operate this way, your consciousness can't work that way. I didn't think God was going to do that. But I was curious, how come he allowed it? You know? And then I thought, well, there's got to be something in it for us, for God to allow that. Okay? And so I began to investigate that. Okay, and I saw that, hey, it was a way of our exercising what God's given us, which is our free will. God's given us free will, and we have the choice. Okay, and the choice is to know ourselves as spirit and to find God. Okay. So, well, if we have to find God, then God's hidden. And why is God hidden? Okay? But, oh, well, that makes us even want to make that choice more, to go and find him, go and find him, go and find him. And I thought, yeah, but no one tells us where to look, you know? And then I thought, well, you know, somehow we must know. And if we begin the process of initiation into the sound current, the process of awakening to the spirit we are, we get to trace back our creation as a soul. Because we're created in God's image. Okay, we don't look like God. You know, but we're created in his image in the sense that we're created from the sound current or from the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. So we're the same spirit as God. And then I thought, gee, if we're the same spirit as God, how did we get this way? I mean, how did it happen? Okay, and then I realized, oh, one day, hey, it happened because we forgot that that's who and what we are. It's forgetfulness. We don't remember. And I go, oh, that's what we're doing here. That's why we're in the body. Because we've forgotten. We have totally forgotten. Well, I bet you God remembers who he is all the time. Okay. He remembers who he is. And if we're God and we've forgotten, then all we have to do is remember. And how do we remember? Okay? And then I realized, well, maybe it's not a question so much of, hey, how do we remember? Okay? But that memory is in us, and somehow it has to be woken up. And it's woken up through initiation into the sound current. And it starts to stir the spirit in you. And it starts to, the soul starts to turn, as it were, and see itself and see itself and see itself and starts to discover what it is. Okay? And then I thought, well, you know, the great existential question, what's the point of it all? And then I realized, well, that is the point, to remember who we are. And I thought, well, gee, this is quite a world that God's put in motion here. And if he created a world for this purpose, then I realized, hey, then guess what? See, and this is hard for us to accept, that the world was created for our benefit. Totally for us. Okay? And on a real simple level, we had an experience on retreat. We went for a walk, and you enjoyed the birds chirping, the butterflies flying, you know, the grass blowing, whatever. Okay? The animals scurrying about. And you get to enjoy that, and we get to really be a part of that and enjoy it. But the pleasure, as it were, of being here, and the benefit of being here, is God created this place so we can remember who we are. He gave us the experience of all of creation, and then because we exercised our free will away from God, we started creating karma. And we create karma and karma and karma, more separation, more separation, more separation. And all the time in us, there's this memory path, as it were. You know, it's like you came here tonight. How are you going to go back home? You're just going to retrace your steps. And it's the same way for the soul. Okay, the soul has come here and put on body after body after body, okay, until eventually, okay, it's sick and tired of putting on bodies, and somehow the dim memory that it has in itself of the spirit that it is kind of just hits its consciousness, and it wants to start knowing itself. And what happens is, it starts the process through initiation of remembering. Okay? So, most of us walk around like, you know, we're down here, God's up here, or we're down here, and the angels are up there, you know, and they're the top. Okay? But the real truth is that we have dominion over all things. Our consciousness is in charge. Okay? And as it wakes up and lifts beyond karma, it starts to know itself, and it starts to be in control, okay? But not in control like most people think, where everybody's busy trying to control somebody else. Everybody's busy trying to get ahead, you know? Everybody's busy trying to control his or her emotions, other people's emotions, other people's love for them or liking of them or whatever stuff, okay? So it's not control in that way, okay? But we start to learn to control the forces that we are and have put in motion, okay? So for example, we're here because in one way we're totally out of control, okay? We've put all this stuff in motion. That's called karma, and we're at the effect of it. Okay. And yeah, we're in total control because, as far as I know, I've never seen one soul have any ability to create karma for any other soul. See, that's the good news. So we're totally controlling our process, okay? But when it said God shall have, we shall have dominion over all things, It has to do with all of creation. We sit at the apex of creation, and also that we have control over being at the effect of our thoughts, of our emotions, and all that. So that we're very powerful. Okay? And how do we control them? Okay? Okay? And God, in his, you know, kindness and mercy to me, has always had a great sense of humor. So I kind of took a look at the way I look at things, and I say, hey, how do we control things? And then I realized, well, that's it. We control things by not controlling things. Okay? We control things by lifting beyond our thoughts, our mind, our emotion, and just focusing into the spirit that we are. And coming to know ourselves as spirit, okay? So, for example, if I get angry and I feed the anger, then all I'm doing is keeping it going, okay? If I lift, okay, then what am I doing? I'm taking a little bit of charge off of that. And then the anger comes around again. I lift beyond it. I take some more charge off of it until there's no more charge and I'm not feeding it. And then if I'm not feeding it, guess what happens? Goes away. Okay? And, you know, most of us, by most of us, I mean 99.99999%, are at the mercy of what we've put in motion. So we're always pushed, as it were. And we're pushed down and out. We're pushed out into the world and down from into the lower consciousness. Not directionally so much, down and up. But just to give it kind of a location you can identify with. And the answer is just the opposite. To go in, inside of us, and up. Okay? And as we lift beyond those creations and our creations, then guess what happens? We get to be freer and freer and freer. Because the real truth is that we're created free and we imprison ourselves. No one does this to us. We do it. We do it through the choices we make. Okay, we do it through our focus, where we're going to focus. Okay, and we do it through allowing the lower part of ourselves, the false self, the basic selves, to run habitual responses. Anger, hurt, regret, resentment, retaliation, that sort of thing. Okay? And it's real interesting, but many times the best approach is for us to just kind of walk on eggshells and be free. Even if we have a legitimate reason to be entangled with someone, okay, is to just be free of it, okay? So, for example, if I say, hey, you know, one and one isn't always two, and you insist it is, and I keep coming at you with one and one isn't always two, you keep insisting, well, the best thing I can do is lift beyond it. Okay, so I'm lifting beyond it. Okay, you're entitled, and I trust the system that somehow in your learning you will come to know that one and one isn't always two. Okay, so I don't have to do anything about your karma. I don't have to do anything about your stuff. Okay, and that's the good news, because that gives me a little bit more of freedom. I don't have to be engaged in your karma and with your karma. Okay, and I trust the system that somehow you'll learn about it, okay? And I realize, you know, if we're at the apex of creation, why are we always living and proceeding exactly as if we're at the bottom? And the answer is, we don't know our roots. You know, we haven't a clue where we come from. Okay? We think we come from mommy and daddy. You know? And we think this is our genealogy. You know? And we have all these kinds of weird hookups into this planet. Okay? But I've never seen a soul that's left the last body it was in that had any relationship at all to the bodies that it was hanging around in, and I'm sorry, with, while it was in its body. You could be married 55 years. You leave your body, you're not going to relate anymore to your spouse. Okay? Now, the soul that was in that spouse, yeah, a lot of times there are agreements. You'll come back around and around and around, help each other work out your karma, etc. Or not work out, the karma. So if we're not hooked up to family, which is, quote, our closest thing, then what are we hooked up with? You know, and just as I was walking around wondering, you know, what are we really, really hooked up with? A friend of mine who's was a minister told me that he had discovered a whole new definition of religion. I said, yeah, what's that? He said, well, it's the link back into who we are. Now, his definition of it was a little bit different from mine, but I thought, wow, okay. So once again, it all depends on finding out who we are. And I thought, well, if it all depends on finding out who we are, and God, in his mercy and kindness, gave us the gift of this life, and the purpose of this life is to find out who we are, and we keep coming back and coming back and coming back so we can find out who we are, then this whole system exists for us. Oh, wow. And then I wound back at the starting point. Well, if this whole system exists for us, then guess what? God must really love us. And I go, oh, of course. That's what I saw years and years ago. You know? That here's this love that God has for us, that all of creation is geared for us, for human beings. And yeah, you know, we're at the apex of creation, and we walk around like we're at the bottom of the totem pole. Okay? So it's an inside-out, backwards kind of a world. And I thought, well, you know, it's really interesting, too. There's something about this world that supports it. You know? And I remember there was somebody that my better half and I knew who opened up a restaurant by us. And it was really successful. You know, I mean, the first weekend, he was inviting people in off the streets. By the second weekend, he was having to call everybody and his mother to see if they could come and work in the place because it was packed. And from then on, it was always packed. And he was a little short guy with a very thick accent, kind of nervous tics, you know, no hair, kind of, you know, not the most attractive guy. And one night I ran into him and I said, boy, you really spend a lot of time in the shop. He said, yeah, look at that. And he points to these limos. I said, look at what? And he said, all those limos. I said, yeah, I see the limos, but You mean you're there all this time so you can afford those limos? I was trying to make some kind of a joke because I didn't know what he was talking about. He said, oh, no, 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 no. Do you know who comes out of those limos? I said, I don't know. I guess people who have money or who like to rent limos. He said, no, no, no. He said, all the top models come out of those limos. I said, oh. I said, well, you're no dummy. So you like sit in your place so you can see these beautiful ladies. You know? He said, oh, no, 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 that's not it. I said, are you sure? I mean, you're not stupid. You know, I would sit there too and look at these beautiful ladies. He said, oh, no, no. He said, I have to sit there night after night after night. I said, why do you have to sit there night after night after night? He said, because if I weren't sitting there night after night after night, they wouldn't come in. I thought, oh, wow. I thought, this guy is looped. And then I thought, well, you know, it's really interesting. He's got this delusion, and there's nothing in the world that's going to stop him. And sure enough, you know, conversation I had with him about 5-8 years later, he's still talking that game, totally convinced that they were coming in because he was there. Now, that's kind of like a nice grandiosity, but there was nothing in the world to stop it. And I realized, you know, this world's a fantastic place. There's really no checks on our craziness. You know, we can be really kind of looped, and the world will kind of support it. You know? And it supports all this negativity, 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 you know? And I thought, well, you know, if the world supports this kind of negativity, okay, what supports the positive? What supports the spirit we are? You know? And obviously, I mean, it wasn't even part of the equation. It wasn't going to be a church, you know, whether it's a Christian church or a Jewish church or a Muslim church or, you know, Hindu temple or anything else. You know, that was just supporting forms of stuff out there. What was going to support the spirit, the positive pole? And then I realized, hey, the only thing that's going to support it is the spirit in us. And that's where God is. And the whole training is to go look outside, but it's in us. And I thought, well, you know, the world's fantastic. God created the world to give us an experience of God. And in that, we have to realize it's not out there. It's in there. So the only reason we're in the world is to know it's in us. And I thought, wow, well, doesn't that negate the world and our enjoyment of the world and participating in it? You know? And I took a look at how people work the world and their participation, from anywhere from doing good deeds to non-participation to grin and bear it and you'll be rewarded in the next life, that sort of stuff. I thought, well, no, none of that stuff rings true. And then I got to see that as we evolve and as we lift, we get to be freer of the world, of the things of the world. And by that, I don't just mean possession, okay? But I mean the thoughts, the mind, the emotion, the very values upon which the world runs on, those illusions. And we get to be free of those illusions. Oh, wow. And the more we're free of the illusions, the more we can have the world. So the more we can be in the world. Not of the world, but the more we can be in it. I thought, wow, this is pretty neat. And as we start ascending in consciousness and start lifting and lifting and lifting, we really sit at the top of the pole. And I thought, wow, this divine marriage is pretty neat, you know? The marriage between God and the spirit we are. That's pretty neat. And I thought, you know, it's really interesting that we have all these pulls out there, pulls out there, pulls out there. But as we lift and grow, we get free of those pulls. We get free and we get free. And each of those pulls is a pull into an embodiment, a pull into an embodiment. And we just lift and lift and lift. And the more we come to know ourselves as spirit, as God, then the more of a chance we have to be with Him. And then I thought, well, you know what's interesting? Everybody thinks that when we leave this body, we're going to be with God. But I just don't understand how that works. Because if we're not with God now, why would we be with God when we leave the body? It doesn't make any sense. You know, if I can't lift a 100-pound weight now, I'm not going to be able to lift 100 pounds when I leave the body. Something just doesn't compute. And then it slowly dawned on me, well, oh my gosh, we can be in the body and be with God. I go, wow, that's a miracle. I go, there's no separation? No, there's no separation. You mean we're one and the same? Yeah, we're one and the same. I go, holy shit, how did this happen? You know? And then I realized how it happened. That's how we were created. So I thought, wait a second. You mean we have to have all these karmic journeys to get back to where we were in the first place? Yeah. I go, wow. So I'm going to end up in the same place I was at the beginning? Yeah. I go, wow. Why? You know, why did God do that? And then I realized, whoa, it's the same thing again. Our volition, so we could exercise our choice. Consciously, so we can consciously return home. And there's a way. And this whole process and all of creation exists just for that. And it's found in us. And there's a way to spark that awake through initiation. I go, wow. God sets this in motion, sets up a way to have it done, makes sure there's always a soul around that can kind of oversee that process and help other souls. God, what more do we want? And it kind of confirmed that, hey, it's all for us. You know, it's all for us. And then when I came into that knowing, I started developing a lot of compassion. Not sympathy, because that's an insult. That's a tremendous insult. Because sympathy means, I don't think you can handle it, you know, or it shouldn't have happened. So I have a real judgment. But I have compassion because of the souls being asleep. And look what souls are missing out on. The joy, the love, the fact that this is all for us. This game was constructed just for us. This game of life. And if we're so integral to this whole process, then our forgetfulness has to be pretty, pretty deep, the way we live our lives. Okay? So the most difficult thing for us to accept is that this world was created for us. And that, yeah, we are responsible to know ourselves as spirit. And that we are one and we are loved. And I'll leave you with a thought, because it really kind of was an oh wow moment. You know, we know that God lives in the unipolar existence, you know, or if you're church people, you know, it's in the oneness of the Holy Spirit. Lives above the dual worlds. And yeah, he's found in the dual worlds, but he lives in the unipolar existence, and that's where our consciousness is. And if he lives in the unipolar existence, then how can there be death? All right, we'll stop with that.